Indigenous women are being neglected from researcher roles and urgent gun law reform needed in WA. Hello, I'm Harrison Peterson with the latest from NIRS News. An Indigenous researcher says a lack of funding for research into violence against Indigenous women and children represents an ongoing neglect and silencing of Indigenous women. Human rights lawyer and researcher Dr. Hannah McGlade is pushing to have more Indigenous women leading research on violence against Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women and children. She says to date there really hasn't been any commitment to investing into research on the issue.
We have seen a growth of research investment into Aboriginal health. This is a major issue for Aboriginal health, the health of Aboriginal women. Violence against women is one of the key causes of Aboriginal women's preventable deaths, but we're not seeing that investment. I think that's about neglect. It's about silencing of Indigenous women's leadership as well, and really a devaluing of Indigenous women's lives. And the protest that has been happening around Australia in recent weeks again has shone a light on this, and these are the kind of reforms that we need to keep on the agenda, and certainly research, knowledge, evidence about violence to Indigenous women is absolutely critical.
Green Senator Dorinda Cox says she was not surprised to learn that the family of a Perth gunman had alerted authorities about his firearm collection and abusive behaviour on three occasions. Mark Bambara fatally shot himself and two others last week, with the intention of finding his ex-wife, who was not home at the time. His daughter, Ariel, yesterday revealed she and her mother had fled their family home in March this year, out of fear, and repeatedly alerted police about her father's gun. Senator Cox, who is a former police officer, has told the ABC policing in Western Australia has been under-resourced for too long and that urgent law reform is needed.
To disarm men who have access to weapons that are killing women at enormous rates, and we have to stop that bit. We have to also make sure that we are intervening earlier. The early intervention space is critical.
New South Wales councils who build and approve more homes will be rewarded with new parks, sporting facilities and upgraded footpaths under a $200 million grant program set to be announced by the state government on Wednesday. Up to 43 councils will be given new housing targets and incentivised to meet them through new funding arrangements. New South Wales Premier Chris Minns says the program will encourage councils to spend rather than sit on more than $3 billion in contributions collected for local infrastructure. An Australian cattle farmer on a trip to Japan found Australian beef being sold in Tokyo was cheaper than what's being sold in Woolworths or Coles. While in Tokyo last month, Andrew Dunlop from southern New South Wales says he found cube beef being sold at about $2 to $4 cheaper per kilo than what is being sold by the big supermarkets in Australia. The find shocked Mr. Dunlop, considering exporters would have had to absorb the cost of international shipping at a 25% import tariff. Both Woolworths and Coles have been in the firing line recently over claims of price gouging at the checkout, particularly after both companies announced profits of more than $1 billion amid the cost of living crisis. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are warned. The following story contains the name of an Aboriginal person who's died. The grandson of Indigenous media trailblazer Tiger Bales is making his own mark on the Hollywood big screen. Quaden Bales walked the red carpet at the Sydney and Brisbane premiere of Furiosa, the latest movie from the Mad Max franchise. Speaking to NITV, the young actor says he can't wait for Mob to see the movie.
I feel really good to be in a movie like this. Like, it's obviously going to create more of a profile for me, and I can't wait till it comes out so everybody can see it. I want to show my culture that if you're black, you can make it. Like, you don't have to be a different colour to make stuff. I'm a proud Aboriginal young boy and I'm making it. Like, I'm in Mad Max, you know. Like, it is hard, but you just got to work every day and just practice. That's all it does. Practice takes perfect.
And that is the latest from NIRS News. This up to date, you can follow us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, or visit our website at nirs.org.au.
For our children, we all walk together to keep our children safe, strong, and connected to culture. Community organisations you trust are here to walk with you and can provide family wellbeing services for families and children of all ages. To find free and confidential support near you, search Family Wellbeing Services. Because when it comes to our children, we all walk together. Authorised by the Queensland Government, Brisbane.
Station sponsor.
Which Way Gambling? Big issue for us? When gambling takes over, it can affect all of your life. We may not know when we have crossed the line. We are a people that are strong in culture and family. Together we can take back our power over gambling and strengthen our spirit. Search Gambling Help Queensland or give them a call on 1800 858 858 for tips and ideas about how to manage gambling. It's free and you can remain anonymous. Hear you, mob. Be brave and let's start yarning about gambling.
Authorised by the Queensland Government, Brisbane. Station sponsor.
Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trundy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trundy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trundy Trev Murray from Macquarie. I come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumbadrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to the National Digital Radio Service. I want to wish everybody a happy National Reconciliation Week. But coming up around the corner, Sunday 26th May, we've got National Sorry Day. And look, we're going to catch up a yarn there with Professor Steve Larkin, Healing Foundation Chair, and just to talk about this important day. And with the Healing Foundation is a national Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander organisation that provides a platform to amplify the voices and lived experiences of stolen generation survivors and their families. And we do have Professor Stephen Larkin on the line. Very good morning, Professor. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Good morning to you too.
And thank you very much for coming to the program. So here we are, the National Sorry Day, a very important date on the calendar, especially First Nation people, for this whole country, really, Sunday 26th of May. So just give us a bit of background in regard to how do we celebrate or acknowledge National Sorry Day, please, Professor.
Yeah, thank you. So the 26th of May, actually, this year it's the 27th anniversary of the Bringing Them Home report.
Okay, yes.
Which, for the first time, uncovered the truth of Australia's stolen generations history and shared this with the nation. In 1997, that report made a series of recommendations to go some way in righting these past wrongs, yet almost 30 years later, most of those crucial actions have not been taken.
Yeah.
And almost 30 years on now, we've already lost many stolen generation survivors, those who are left are ageing. So the urgency of acting now is now to support elderly survivors in their last years and decades cannot be overstated.
It leaves a sort of ill feeling in your mind, in your heart. Are they waiting to all the stolen generations have passed on? I mean, it makes you wonder, doesn't it, Professor?
Well, it does, and at our policy forum we had last week in Canberra, that was a feeling that people were starting to now get impatient, and so
exactly.
They should be. I think
so
they've been very patient.
Yes.
Yeah, waiting for very long, I know. So, survivors have multiple complex overlapping needs. They carry a legacy of social economic disadvantage and often don't have access to appropriate services to address the needs as they age. So, And the other thing to note is their health and well-being are significantly worse than that of other Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people themselves disadvantaged, who are of a similar age to were not removed.
Sure.
So, I think it's past the due date now that
exactly.
that people have access to a reparations scheme or to their family records.
Sure.
Which is not only critical for healing, but, often required for accessing programs and other supports.
Mm. And then you look at the after effects even to generations past. We're talking about the generational trauma. That is real, is it not, Professor?
It is. We have evidence of that, and it's also evidenced in the, unfortunately, and some of the overproportionate participation rates in some of our legal and other systems, which people were institutionalized, have a distrust of societal institutions.
Yes.
And that gets passed on to the next generation.
Mm.
I think what we're calling for priorities for action, a nationally consistent, fair and equitable redress for stolen generation survivors, their family and descendants. You know, it's not expensive, especially when compared with the difference it will make to people's lives.
Mm.
Tailored trauma-informed services to meet the unique aged care, health, mental health, disability and housing needs.
Mm.
Of significantly growing numbers of ageing stolen generation survivors to prevent re-traumatisation.
And
nationally consistent access to historical and contemporary records, including birth, deaths and marriages for stolen generation survivors and their families for the reasons I mentioned before.
Yes, yes. So we must continue to promote trauma-aware and heal-informed practices to help government and policymakers and workforce understand their role in intergenerational healing. We've just got to keep banging the drum, don't we?
I think so. We're just going to have to persist. There is plenty of support out there. We just need that support to be, have effect within the relevant spheres of action that we rely on and through both tiers of government and others. I would assume there's an intention to do good.
Yes.
But again, this has to go beyond aspiration into action.
Mm.
So a lot of these things, people, as I've said before, are getting impatient now and deservedly so.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we should do the right thing here and prioritise the sorts of initiatives I've outlined as a matter of urgency.
Urgency. Professor, Healing Foundation, who do they sit under regarding Minister, and is there conversations at the table to the Minister?
Primarily we're under Minister Burney.
Yep.
Minister Burney has been a very good supporter, as was her predecessor.
Sure.
So I think it's just moving the different parts of, government portfolios to, come to the fore and be able to work in a sort of intersectoral way so that, people get access to the most appropriate services and programs in a timely way. And not having them navigate too much red tape to do so.
Exactly, exactly. Well, it's urgent, and here we are celebrating National Sorry Day, the 27th anniversary of Stolen Generation Report. And it's a long time waiting, but we'll just keep banging the drum and going strong. Professor, thank you for your yarn, and big shout-out to all the team at Healing Foundation.
Thank you very much.
You take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
A diddly yarn there with Professor Steve Larkin, Healing Foundation Chair. And we're coming up to Sunday, 26th of May, which is the day for the National Sorry Day for 2024. And look, there's still a lot of work to be done. And good to have that yarn with Professor Steve Larkin. And hats off to Healing Foundation and work that they're doing. Uphill battle, but they are doing their job. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong. And big shout out to NERS, National News Radio Service, put us across the airways. We're based here at Bumabripa Media in Cairns, Yidinji country, with Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarn up strong, you mob, too deadly.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah, Papu.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumbadrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Happy National Reconciliation Week, you mob, too, Deadly. Look, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Marjorie Anderson, National Program Manager for 13 Yarn. Now, 13 Yarn, hats off to them, marks 50,000 calls supporting Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in crisis. We have Marjorie on the line. Sister, good morning. How are you?
Oh, good morning. I'm very well, thank you, Trevor.
Thank you for coming to the program. Before we start, Sister, let the mob know who your mob were you from, Marjorie?
My mob's Gamilaroi, which is Northern New South Wales. We're big mob.
All right, big mob, fantastic. Look, congratulations. Look, 13 Yarn marks 50,000 calls for supporting Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in crisis. It shows it was warranted, it was needed, and you guys are kicking goals and there for our people. So congratulations with that, Marjorie.
Thank you, thank you. And I think the secret to our success is the fact that we've involved community in the design of the service.
Yes.
We went out and said to the community, we've got funding to do this, tell us what you want and we'll go and deliver it. That we take any feedback seriously and we look at the service to make sure that, you know, we've got the diversity of the community's opinions in the way it's run.
Yes.
So I think that's the secret to our success. And, you know, it's confidential, there's no judgment, there's no shame, nobody needs to know you rang. And it's a culturally safe space for people, eh?
Fantastic, and so true. Look, and we talk about culturally safe. They got the statement, we have 6 degrees of separation. For blackfellas, it's virtually 2 or 3 degrees of separation. How do you go regarding communication with people that they're not talking to family or connection with clan mob? How do you work that out, Sister?
Yeah. Well, we worked that out by being a national service.
Sure.
And so you could ring in Mungindi and get answered in, you know, Perth or Wollongong or somewhere like that. So it's really highly unlikely that you would get somebody you know.
Yes.
The crisis supporters are all up and down the Queensland coast. They're in the central west of New South Wales, the south coast of New South Wales, and over in WA. So we haven't had that issue occur with the 50,000 calls we've had.
Fantastic, fantastic. And we were talking about the callers. When people call, the people on the other line, your mob are being trained up in different facets of life and responses and advices as such, yes?
Yeah. So the staff that we've got on board, they undertook the lifeline training. But what we did was we put a cultural lens over it.
Yes.
So we made sure that we changed it to Blackfella Way.
Yes.
And they also do 2 extra modules around, you know, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander intergenerational trauma and also the social and emotional well-being and the complexity of social and emotional well-being for blackfellas.
Okay,
so they're really highly trained.
Yeah, beautiful.
And then they're really monitored in the beginning.
Okay.
And it actually takes 12 months to become an accredited crisis supporter. So you're talking about people that are very well trained.
Yeah, beautiful, fantastic. And look, this when we talk about domestic violence, which is across the country, across if not the world, in regard to stamping it out and what have you, do you feel that like the call has this particular organisation has helped a lot of our, especially our women and children in the state?
Look, I think so. What we do with DV is what we try and do is really, you know, try and de-escalate and empower the caller. So what we try and look for is local services that they might be able to link in with.
Okay.
If we can't find any local services they might be able to link in with that have expertise in DV, because we're not DV experts.
Okay. Yep.
We would then empower them enough to be able to ring 1-800-RESPECT and get the help they need from the people from 1-800-RESPECT. So we talk them through the fact that it's probably not going to be an Aboriginal person that answers, but they're not going to help you culturally.
Yes.
That's what we're here for. But what they'll be able to do is help you with, you know, the other parts of what impacting you. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah, thank you.
So we talk them through that and empower them.
Fantastic. Beautiful. Which is great. Look, 13 Yarn, so do you have a head office? How does it work in regarding where do your staff sit across the state, if not the country?
Well, we have a head office in Sydney.
Okay.
And there's like, I think five of the staff are in Sydney or Western Sydney.
Mm.
We've got staff in Tamworth. We've got staff in Bonnie Hills up near Port Macquarie. Mm. In Queensland, we've got staff in Cairns, Townsville, Bundaberg, Ipswich, Brisbane. I know I'm forgetting somewhere. Townsville.
Sure. Yeah, so you're really, across the country, yes.
Yeah, in Western Sydney, we're in Dubbo, Bathurst and Orange. And over in WA, we're in Perth. And then we're up in the Pilbara area, in a little community up there as well.
Mm, fantastic. And you've got a head office then, do you not, Marjorie?
Our head office is in Sydney.
All right, fantastic. So the number 13, Yarn, that's the number people need to call. Look, if they're feeling four walls are closing in on them and they need someone to talk to or they need to get something off the chest, you urge them call 13 Yarn, yes?
Yeah, 1392 76.
There
so
it is.
Mm-hmm. Remember that number, and if you're feeling no good or you're getting that icky feeling in your guts, that's anxiety, give us a call and we can make you feel better.
1392 76, Marjorie. Thank you, my sister. All the best to your deadly team, and happy National Reconciliation Week, sister.
Okay, same to you, and same to all your listeners.
Take care. Bye bye.
Okay, bye.
Deadly Yarn, Beautiful Yarn, Marjorie Anderson, National Program Manager for 13 Yarn. And look, they've marked 50,000 calls for supporting Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in crisis. And look, you can't beat black on black when you get a mob who are in a situation where they need to talk to somebody or talk to another black person. It's fantastic, you know. So this organisation, I think, has been running for about 12 months. And look, in actual fact, first 2 years of operation from around 17,000 calls in 2022 and to 25,000 calls in 2023. So there's the 50,000 calls. So 2 years they've been running, and fantastic. Like I said, it warrants organisation to operate. And look, we're kicking goals and talking to our mob and saving mob. And just that's the best medicine, you know, having a pair of ears. And 13 Yarn are those pair of ears. So they don't judge, they talk, they yarn. And like I said, black on black, you can't beat that, too deadly. Yarning Up Strong here on National Talk Black, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for the daily program, National Talk Black. 1 hour program live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. BBM Bumper Group Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Too deadly, NERS.
What makes me really weak is you have black fellas saying gammon real gammon way. They need to go to Gammon Anonymous and see a gammonologist so they can go and get some gammon prescription and get some gammon medicine. And next time when you're watching TV and the classification says G, well, you know what that G stands for now? It stands for gammon. And when it says PG, well, that stands for proper gammon. I could just see at the next Gammon Awards. This year's Gammon goes to Shawnee Chilbra. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I'd like to thank my Gammon mum and all my Gammon fans out there. Now we're going to break into a Gammon song. This year's Gammon Awards. I'm Gammon. I'm more Gammon than he is. He's not even Gammon. It's my Gammon Awards.
Ooh, yeah.
You're Gammon. I'm Gammon. Everybody's Gammon. We are everyday Gammon people.
Woo! You're Gammon. You're Gammon. You're Gammon. You're Gammon.
You're gammon.
Hi, I'm Joe Madden, Director of Child and Family in Far North Queensland. My department is responsible for the child protection system here in Far North Queensland. We work to support parents and protect children when there is evidence of abuse and neglect. Children and young people who can't live safely at home rely on other families coming forward to open their hearts and their homes to care for them. Fostering kinship care is the heart and soul of our child protection system. My hope today is to provide a better understanding of the critical need for more members of the community to consider becoming foster or kinship carers. In 2022-23 year, there was an average of 600 approved carer families in Far North Queensland, which is fantastic. However, we really need more. In the same year, around 1,300 children were living away from home in the region. In other words, they weren't able to live with their families. Most of these were First Nations children. Of these First Nations children, 70% were in home-based care, such as foster or kinship care. However, this means 30%, or around 300 children, were not in foster or kinship care. They were in residential care or other care arrangements. For some young people, residential care is the right place for them because of their individual circumstances. This can include complex needs such as disabilities, and they get great care and support. But what we know is there are far too many very young First Nations children in residential care, and this is not what we want to see. We believe they should be living safely with foster and kinship care families in the community. And we believe this would give these little ones a better chance to thrive, learn and grow up strong in culture and life skills. So today we're asking members of the community to not wait to be asked. We would love for you to put your hand up because there are little ones who need you to come forward today. If you can help, please express an interest to us or to the local foster and kinship care agency in becoming a carer. Once you come forward, you will then receive information on the process, what's needed, and the allowances and the support that you'll receive. We know this might seem daunting to begin with, but we can assure you that agencies are there to train and support foster and kinship carers so they're not alone in doing this important job. Today, we have representatives from our culturally appropriate foster and kinship care service at Wootshopperin. Child Safety funds the organisation to recruit, train and support First Nations foster and kinship carers in Far North Queensland. Karen is able to talk more about the work they do and the support that's available for foster and kinship carers.
Here is an important message from Wootshopperin.
Hi, I'm Karen Salam. I manage the Foster and Kinship Care Service of Wootshopperin Health Service. Are you passionate about making a difference in an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander child's life? Across North Queensland, there is an urgent need for more kinship, foster and relief carers for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. Every day, children are being removed from their homes due to harm, neglect or family crisis. What is Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service? Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service provides support to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander carers, opening their lives and homes to children in times of need. Our placement support workers work with the community to identify safe, caring and loving homes for long or short periods of time that will also provide strong family and cultural connections. Why be a kinship, foster or relief carer? By becoming a Wootshopperin kinship, foster or relief carer, you will help keep Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children and young people safe during a challenging time in their lives. As a priority, and through your guidance, support and care, you will help our kids stay with or continue to be connected to their family, culture and community and reach their full potential. Being a carer is highly rewarding and makes an enormous difference to the lives of our young people. Carers are also celebrated and acknowledged for their dedication at events like the Fostering Kinship Carers Week. We are here to guide you. Wootshopperin's placement support staff works with carers every step of the way to support them on their journey. Carers will also have access to support and become equipped with new skills and knowledge to help provide care for our children. Additionally, carers receive support and training. Our staff are on call and there is a carer allowance which you can access. If you decide to become a carer, you will have a team of Aboriginal and or Torres Strait Islander workers to help you with any issues and provide strength in times of need. They will be there to celebrate the wins with you and help you move through the challenging times together. What's the next step? Our dedicated team will take you through every part of the process in becoming a carer. So if you are interested and ready to make a difference for our children, call Wootshopperin on 40801080 to learn more.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
Yes, a very good morning, New Delhi Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, 20, Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns and Yidinji country as BBM Bumbarib Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Yarn up strong, you mob, too deadly. Now, National Reconciliation Week. A very happy National Reconciliation Week to all you mob. Non-Indigenous allyship and sharing the cultural load. We're talking about the National Telstra Best of Business Building Communities winner for 2024, and that's Evolve Communities. And the co-founder of Evolve Communities is Carla Rogers, got her on the line with Arnie Munya Andrews. A very good morning, ladies. How are you?
Good morning. Great to be here.
Yeah. Thank you very much for coming along. Arnie, we start with you. Who your mob were you from, please?
Okay, yes, so my mob are the Bardi people. We're from the Kimberley area of Western Australia, on the Dampier Peninsula north of Broome.
Okay. Beautiful. Big footprint. Thank you. And yeah. Carla Rogers, who your mob were you from, sister?
Yeah, so I'm from, as a non-Indigenous person, I'm so lucky to be invited into to love and respect country. So I have a deep love for Wadi Wadi people and the Darawal Nation, so down here a couple of hours south of Sydney.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you very much, my sister. Well, we claim you. No worries about that.
Thank you,
Trevor. Now, when you look at co-founder of Evolve Communities, Carla, give us the background of Evolve Communities, how long it's been running for, how did it start, and here you are now a winner of National Telstra Best of Business Building Communities 2024.
Yeah, so it started back in, I started back in 2005, Trevor. I was working a lot with mob on country and, you know, looking at co-managed national parks and things like that. And then I had a big project up in the Gulf of Carpentaria and Mornington Island and Doomadgee.
Yes, that's my country now. That's my country now, sister.
Yeah. And there was a big team of us yarning up with, talking about hard yarns, a community up there, and Auntie Munya came along in the team, and we discovered there that we had so much in common, and we had a, you know, both shared a deep love of country. And
you used to join at the hips now.
Yeah, that's right, yeah, and answering each other's, or finishing each other's sentences, apparently. but then we thought, how do we make this country better, and how do we make it kinder and more inclusive? And we realised it was all about teaching non-Indigenous people,
yes,
like myself, about what we can learn, you know, from First Nations wisdom and culture and peoples, and
beautiful,
how much we could grow as a person and heal as a country if we were to open our hearts to non-Indigenous people to learning from that.
And look, sister, that's beautiful ingredients to create a business and togetherness. And here we are talking on National Reconciliation Week, and here you are, National Telstra Best of Business Building Communities 2024 winner. So that wasn't the vision, was it?
Yeah, we can remember the moment. You know, we're sitting on one of the wharves up at Mornington Island, and the beautiful water and sunset and all the kids around. And so can we remember that moment where we had that vision? And we thought, well, this is really fancy, but how are we going to do it? And that's where we thought we came up with this set of skills for non-Indigenous people like myself to learn to be confident allies and,
good,
you know, and now more than ever.
Yes, here we are.
We need the theme. Allies.
Yes. Fantastic. And so, well, they said the best exercise for your heart is when you're bending down, lifting somebody up. And that's what, you know, that's what Evolve Communities does, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, it's a bit of that. It's lifting me up and lifting people like myself up.
Yes.
We just learn so much.
Good.
And the generosity and the invitation always extended by First Nations people to us. And, you know, and we had last year a pretty awful rejection of that invitation.
Referendum, let's not go there. But anyway, change the subject, but I hear you. But it's not what happens to you in life, how you respond to it. And here's the response, you know. Success breeds success, and now we've got a fantastic organisation here that's evolving all peoples, isn't it?
Yeah, and we were thrilled, Trevor. Like, we were
We were national New South Wales finalists in two categories, Indigenous Excellence and Building Communities, and then we were so thrilled to win the Building Communities because it was like, oh, they got us, what we were on about.
Yes, the penny dropped.
And, yeah, and you know, our vision is for thriving communities of allies across Australia, and there's so many people that have become part of that.
Yes. And I say to Aunty Manya, you must look at Sister Carla there. She's true to the bone, down to earth. I feel her passion. So you as a First Nation elder, open up your arms and your heart and your spirit for this beautiful sister, yep?
Absolutely. And she is just a terrific ally for our mob, always standing up for our people.
Yes.
Speaking the truth and demanding the truth of others.
Yeah.
Yeah, you couldn't ask for anyone better, so yeah.
Fantastic. So, ladies, just give us a snapshot of what Evolve Communities does. How do you engage with people? Do you do workshops? Paint the picture there, please, Carla.
Yes, we do all of that. It's all about yarning with people and learning from each other. So a lot of it, the big ways we do that is, like, we have a online program, and we're really lucky that organisations like Woolworths Group, they've rolled that out across Australia.
Good.
And it's all about these skills, these seven steps we call them, for allies. Then we do yarning circles. We do them online. We do them in person. The really exciting thing, Trevor, is that, like, our whole model is of allyship, always an Indigenous person being supported by an ally.
Yes.
And our business model is, like, we've got mob and facilitators employed and trained across Australia, so that deliver our program. So we just ran a whole group through late November, and Auntie, how was that, seeing some of the mob coming through that program and now out there facilitating the program?
Well, you just feel so proud because, you know, we're providing employment for our mob where they can stay on country but still earn a living by helping us run these workshops and that. And we also have our ally accreditation program, the first of its kind, Carla.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell people about that?
Yeah, oh, that's when so non-Indigenous people come in and they actually have to demonstrate their competencies in these areas.
Good.
And developing communities. The other thing, Trevor, that's going gangbusters is the our videos. We've got Ask Auntie, Ask an Ally, and the one that's really trending on TikTok at the moment is Auntie talking about
the rainbow serpent.
Yeah, beautiful. All right, Sharon. Yeah, thank you. And it just I think it also opens up the opportunity for non-Indigenous brothers and sisters seeing a non-Indigenous sister sitting at the table, arms open, and then passing on that knowledge as well. It sort of gives them permission and think, well, it's okay. And we come as a student, do we not? Is what I'm picking up.
Yeah, and they say you teach what you most need to know. Need
yeah,
to
exactly.
Yourself.
Yeah, too deadly.
Yeah, that's a big reason. And also that sharing that cultural load, that's why we put, you know, I'm talking this week with Auntie, because we're always, as non-Indigenous people, we're always going and asking Indigenous people and wanting something from them.
Sure.
So it's like, no, hang on, let's pause, let's try and learn ourselves first.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. There's a protocol, there's a process.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations, ladies. So proud of you. Thank you very much for sharing. And look, Evolve Communities, kicking goals. It sounds like you mob are enjoying the journey. And where you meant to be, my sisters.
Thank you, Trevor. And loads of free stuff on our website, too, if people want to jump on that as well.
Thank you. That's evolves.com.au.
That's it.
That's right,
Lovely. So there is your mob. Check that out online. And congratulations once again, 2024 winner, National Telstra Best of Business, Building Communities, and that's what Evolve Communities does. That's what they do. So, Carla, thank you very much. Ani Manya, thank you. Keep smiling, girls, and we'll talk soon.
Oh, it's great to talk to you.
Bye, sisters.
Okay, bye.
Beautiful yarn there. That's Carla Rogers, co-founder of Evolve Communities and director there of Evolve Communities, which is Animanya Andrews. Fantastic. Teamwork makes a dream work. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. We're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation. Thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. A big shout out to the NERS team, too deadly, you mob.
We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416-98.7 FM. BBM.
Yes, very good morning, New Delhi Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns and Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Happy National Reconciliation Week, you mob. Here we are, another week of celebration, a tool for education, bridge builder, all the above. And we're going to catch up a yarn now with Bala Kenny Bedford, who's Cairns-based director, Reconciliation Australia, and got him on the line. Kenny Bedford, my brother. Good morning, Bala. How are you?
Well, good morning, Bala. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. And before we start, Bala, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
For sure. My name's Kenny Bedford. I'm from Arab, proud Arab man, of the Mayram tribe. As you say, based in Cairns. My respect to the traditional owners of Cairns, and I'm coming to you today from TI, in the land of the Kaurag Nation.
Yes.
Good to be with you, and I want to wish you and all our listeners as well a prosperous and happy National Reconciliation Week.
Yeah, my brother. Here we are. 27 May to 3rd of June is the week, and it's the same every year. And the theme this year, now more than ever. So give us a bit of background regarding National Reconciliation Week. And for those non-Indigenous brothers and sisters, how can they be involved? And what is the platform, so to speak, regarding National Reconciliation Week?
My Bella, National Reconciliation Week is you know, one of two really important weeks in our Indigenous calendar across this country, across our country, the country of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. And it's a time where we can focus and celebrate and, you know, revisit this challenge we have in this country of reconciliation. It's a chance, particularly this year with that theme, now more than ever, saying and reminding ourselves that now more than ever we need to stand up, continue the fight for justice and continue that path to self-determination and for us to be working together on that. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, as well as non-Indigenous Australians, it's important. Reconciliation happens between our Indigenous peoples and non-Indigenous Australians, and this is where we celebrate what we've been able to achieve and reset the pathway, which includes now more than ever talking about truth-telling and agreement-making post-referendum.
Yes.
Yeah, and people right around this country can be involved, and we encourage non-Indigenous people in particular to be checking in on how they view and how they understand not only our history but the importance of reconciliation. You know, within themselves, within their families and their communities, and the role that they can play. And there's a lot of information online, and, you know, it's very hard to avoid this week.
Exactly.
Because celebration's happening everywhere, and that's happening in so many different ways. And if people aren't sure, they should go to the Reconciliation Australia website, where there are events registered right across this country that they can be part of, but also not just events, but ways that people can look at reconciliation for the first time or build on the good reconciliation work they've done themselves. And that includes things from, you know, from book lists to movies to opportunities to meet with elders, to talk with community members, to share and come together. That's what we're encouraging this week across the country.
Beautiful, brother. So when you talk about National Reconciliation Week, and for our non-Indigenous brothers and sisters, it's not a vehicle about pointing a finger and about making them feel guilty, is it?
No way. It's about understanding our history, all of our history.
Yes.
That's where that truth-telling component is so important, so that people understand the true and full history of this country. And it's a long time. There's a lot of history before Captain Cook come sailing around this way. And it's about understanding that true history, understanding the impact of colonisation, and understanding that that impact continues today because we have unresolved issues.
And yes.
When we can understand these things and when we can start talking about what really happened, this is part of the healing journey of the country. And the voice through the referendum was only one component of, you know, that very generous Uluru Statement from the Heart that we still present as a gift to all Australians.
Yes.
We've still got an opportunity here to find ways where we can give Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people a voice and give them opportunities to make decisions about what's happening, you know, in their communities, and make come up with the solutions, because we're the best people who know how to deal with the challenges that we face as a result of not dealing with a lot of the past issues that won't go away
Until
we do the truth-telling and deal with these matters. So because the referendum failed doesn't mean these issues are going to go away. We're not going nowhere.
Sure, exactly.
This is our place.
Always was. Always will be.
And we're always going to be reminding the visitors to this country that we're not going anywhere. We're strong black people of this country, and we're going to remind people of that history as long as we're here.
Too dearly, my brother. Now, when you look at the success of the 1967 referendum and, of course, the High Court Mabo decision, respectively, that's not too long ago. And when you look at the theme, now more than ever, the work's got to be done. Now more than ever.
That's right. And we've got a lot of positive examples there.
Sure.
Where we have stood up to the nose, to the rejection, to people who told us we're not from here, that we're... Mm-hmm. We weren't here when they arrived. Mm-hmm. We've had to go to high courts. So, again, that's what our theme's all about, being proud, being strong.
Truth-telling.
Yeah, and telling the truth. Yeah. And, you know, we're not sweeping anything under the carpet.
Exactly.
We're strong and we're here and we're getting stronger. So
yes, we're getting stronger.
Let's deal with what needs to be dealt with so that we've got a better country for all Australians. For not all just having Australian, yeah,
exactly.
people, but for all Australians. Young people want this. We know that.
Yes. Well, you look at the platform, National Reconciliation Week. It's bringing people together, black and white, isn't it?
We've got more reconciliation action plans than ever, over 3,000.
Mm.
You know what? They increased by 40% leading up to the referendum, and that hasn't slowed down. So we've got a lot to learn from the referendum, but it's not the be-all and end-all.
Sure.
We held up the mirror. Mm-hmm. And what it's told us is that we've still got work to do, and that's all of us. So let's think about this week how we can learn more about reconciliation and contribute as all Australians to something that's good for all of us and for the future of all our children.
To Daily Brother. To our Daily listeners just tuned in, Trinity Trev Murray from Macquarie, National Talk Black, having a Daily Yarn with Kenny Bedford, Cairns-based director, Reconciliation Australia. Confirming, brother, how long you've been a director with Reconciliation Australia?
I think at least 10 years now, and I'm really proud of the work that we've been able to do. We've got a fantastic team of people there now, and many that have come before them who have done this work, and... They, you know, I really want to take this opportunity to pay tribute to them, to our CEO, Karen Mundine, and her leadership.
Yes.
And to the reconciliation groups right around the country, from state down to community level. There are people out there doing the hard work, and we know through the referendum how much support there is for truth-telling and for dealing with these matters. We didn't get the majority, but we certainly saw that there's a growing population there.
Independent oversight needed for WA police, and an inquest wraps up. Hello, I'm Harrison Peterson with the latest from NIRS News. An internal review into the police response to the murder of two women in Perth last week is not good enough. Green Senator Dorinda Cox says it comes after the daughter of a man who murdered the women before turning the gun on himself revealed she warned police on three separate occasions that her father represented.
And here we are this week celebrating National Reconciliation Week. It's the 27th May.
Queensland's big build is all go. We're getting to work right across the state, which might mean some disruptions as we roll out a 10-year plan to build more hospitals and upgraded schools, more housing, better transport, and more renewable energy. With Queensland growing, now's the time to future-proof the lifestyle we all love. To find out more about Big Build projects on the go near you, search Queensland Big Build.
Here on your daily program, National Talk Black, and a big shout-out to National News Radio Service, who puts us through the airways across the country. We're here based at Bummer.